Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Finolex Industries Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sohil Gora from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to welcome you all to the Q4 FY23 post-result conference call for Finolex Industries Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Anil Wadhi, Managing Director, Mr. Ajit Venkataraman, CEO, and Mr. Neeraj Kedia, CFO. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Anil Wadhi, sir, for his opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sohil. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the investor conference call for Q4 FY23 earnings. We thank you all for continued support and interest in Finolex Industries Limited. After witnessing the robust demand since the last couple of quarters, Q4 also reported a healthy volume growth. Overall stability in prices and company's enhanced focus into non-agri side of the business has improved the profitability during Q4. On the full-year basis, FY23 reported a new milestone achievement of record volume growth of more than 300,000 tons in the pipes and fittings segment. As another mark of achievement during the quarter, the company added a new state-of-the-art manufacturing facility of PVC fittings at Talegaon, Pune. For this per annum capacity of 12,000 metric tons, the company incurred a CapEx of about 100 crores, which has been funded entirely through internal accruals. The operations are ramping up as per the plan, and we expect to reach full capacity production in 3-6 months. Let me give you some of the performance indicators for Q4. Total income from operations dropped 28% to 1,141 crore against 1,594 crores in Q4 FY22, while the EBITDA for the quarter decreased 18% on YOY basis to rupees 217 crore in Q4 FY23 compared to 265 crores in Q4 FY22. As compared to Q3 FY23, this was an increase of 137% from 92 crores to 217 crores. EBITDA margin also increased to 19.06% this quarter compared to 16.6% in corresponding previous quarter of Q4 FY22. The company reported profit after tax of 158.35 crores in Q4 as compared to 493.8 crores in Q4 FY22 and 72.07 crores in Q3 FY23. Now, getting into segment performance, pipes and fittings revenue decreased by 14% to 1,102 crores in Q4 FY23 from rupees 1,277 crores in Q4 FY22. Volume in pipes and fittings segment reported a growth of about 4% YOY to 81,452 metric tons in Q4 FY23 against 78,629 metric tons in the corresponding last quarter. The EBIT in pipes and fittings segment was 90.32 crores in Q4 FY23, down 4% on YOY basis compared to 94.2 crores in Q4 FY22. However, on sequential basis, EBIT improved 31% compared to 68.9 crores in Q3 FY23. Moving to PVC resin segment, revenue in the resin segment decreased 52% from 1,044 crores in Q4 FY22 to 501 crores in Q4 FY23. Volume in the resin segment decreased 27% to 58,132 metric tons in Q4 FY23 against 79,182 metric tons in Q4 FY22. EBIT in the resin segment was 117.25 crores in Q4 FY23 compared to 156.46 crore in the corresponding previous year's quarter. On QOQ basis, this is significant improvement compared to rupees 12.43 crores in Q3 FY23. The company continues to have a strong balance sheet with a net cash surplus of roughly about 1,500 crores as on 31st March 23. Let me now leave the floor open for questions. I have my colleagues Ajit and Neeraj to answer these. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Sandesh Barmecha from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, couple of questions from our side. Sir, our annual PVC resin production is down around 10% compared to pre-COVID levels in FY23. And that is despite the increase in pipe sales volume. So are we facing any challenges in raw material availability front to optimally utilize our PVC resin plant? And so what will be our guidance for PVC resin segment for FY24?
Hi, good morning. So the answer to your question is both yes and no. See, there is in general no shortage or no issues that we have in sourcing materials. But what did happen actually was for a couple of shipments, there were issues with those particular shipments. In some of the suppliers in the third quarter and fourth quarter, one of them had a force majeure and they had some plant issues. So we could not source VCM completely as we had envisaged. But generally, there is no sourcing challenges that we face.
Okay. So what would be a guidance for the full year, sir, FY24 for the PVC resin segment?
We should be back to normal.
We should be back to around 260 to 280 thousand,
sir? No, not 280,000. Our rated capacity is 270,000.
Yes,
so between 250 to 260,000 tons should be a number.
Okay, sir. So if I'm not wrong, we have done around 100 crore capex for the 12,000 capacity right now in Talegaon, sir. So if I just do a rough math, that comes to around 140 something, around 1 lakh rupees per metric ton. So isn't that a bit on a higher side, sir?
See, that includes the cost towards molds. So if you look at the machines and all, that cost is not very material. But what happens is the number of SKUs that you are going to manufacture there would require molds. So the large part of this investment is towards the molds.
Okay. So we are expecting to increase our SKUs basically going forward, sir.
Yes, gradually they will also increase, and some of the so this plant will make a large number of SKUs.
Okay, so what would be our volume growth and EBITDA margins guidance for pipe divisions for FY24, sir?
See, generally guidance we don't give.
Okay.
But to give you a basic trend line, if you see in this year, when we see last 2 years, 21-22 were abnormal.
Right.
Even for pipe segment, because you know, this year in Q2 we suffered a loss because of the prices going down, which continued in the months of October and November. But if you look at the trend line after November, prices have increased or have been stable, and that is reflected in the numbers that we have for Q3 and Q4. So slight improvement on these numbers going forward, assuming that PVC remains at these levels or remains constant, should be the numbers.
Okay, so a couple of just data points, sir. So what will be our capex plan for FY24, amount or plan, sir?
Roughly 150 to 200 crores.
Okay, sir, and our non-agri pipe volume for FY Q4 and full year 23, sir?
So the non-agri pipe segments, we have a total contribution of approximately 35% over the overall volumes. And that is the part segment of the industry which is growing robustly. So we expect a 15 to 20% growth in that segment.
15 to 20%. And so same for CPVC pipe volumes and revenue, sir, for this quarter, Q4 basically?
see that the growth in CPVC is going to be faster than the overall non-agri.
Right. Okay. Sir, fittings volume, sir, for Q4, sir, volume and revenue for Q4 FY23?
So we normally don't split up the pipes and fitting volumes.
So we normally do, but, you know, when we internally discuss, we realize, you know, it is not so relevant. It is better to look at the company as a whole, in the whole segment as a whole.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question was on the agri business in terms of what has been the growth in the fourth quarter and for the full year, FY23, in terms of volumes?
So, see, this again is something, see, while we give this agri-non-agri split, to be very honest, the end use of these pipes and fittings, it differs from region to region. For example, there are some states and some regions where agri-based pipes are used for non-agri application. So hence, we've realized that, you know, it is not the right number to give probably, to give the exact split. What we would request you is to look at the business as a whole.
Yeah, that's fine, sir. I mean, what I wanted is the growth, you know, not the specific mix or anything. It appears to us that the, you know, the agri is probably flattish, marginally higher for the quarter, given the non-agri probably is growing faster, like you mentioned in one of the answers. So just wanted to understand that for the fourth quarter and full year, how has been the agri from our production perspective, may not be from application perspective, but from production perspective, have you seen that it's kind of flattish? And if yes, so what could be the reasons given now PVC prices are probably pretty much at the bottom or stable?
Yeah, so see, if you compare with Q3, obviously the volumes of Q4 were lower. But if you compare with last year, same quarter, the volumes are slightly higher, okay? On a demand per se, you are right that prices have gone down, but if you look at it, the volumes of roughly 82,000 tons, 81,000 tons that we have done, it is more or less at the pre-COVID levels. And what has also happened is that because of the huge demand surge in Q3, our view is that some of the demand which would have otherwise come in Q4 may have been pulled back into that quarter. But right now, as we speak, we are seeing strong demand in both agri and non-agri.
So, can you talk about full year, sir, in that case? What has been the growth for agri?
So, again, full year, if you see our company from 236,000 tons to 303,000 tons, which is a growth of almost 30%.
So for the agri business, sir?
Similar levels.
So it's kind of flattish, you're saying. While we are seeing the other companies are growing much faster, and I presume agri is also contributing, does that mean that we have kind of lost market share? And if yes, why? Could you give some clarity on that?
So if you look at it from a company perspective, our full year growth was almost 30% year on year. So I don't know how you are saying that we have lost share or market share.
So, sir, if I talk about the market leader grown at 37% YY in this year, if I look at from a four-year CAGR perspective also, like pre-COVID to FY23, the CAGR for Supreme is 8%, while for us it is 4%. So I'm coming from that background, sir.
So this you'll have to look at in context with the total market and not just of the organized players.
Right. So you think the total market is flattish? Sorry, I'm kind of engaging that to and fro, sir. You think the agri market has been flattish from a pre-COVID perspective? Is that understanding right?
No, that is not right.
Okay.
Pre-COVID, the highest that we did was roughly 256,000 tons, 250 to 260,000 tons. this year we have, on a company level, we have crossed 300,000 tons.
So right.
See why that is flattish.
Okay, I'll speak offline as well, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So what kind of SKU addition we've seen in this year or last 2 years to say so?
So, can you just continue with the question? I'll get the numbers and I'll tell you.
Yeah, and also on the Nal Se Jal scheme, so how has that scheme shaped for the organized pack?
So typically we don't deal directly with the government and or participate in the government tenders. These are done by our dealers. And definitely it has given a boost to the overall industry as such. But we don't track numbers directly with the government. Yeah.
Right. And on the SKU addition,
I'll let you know.
Okay. And sir, just the bookkeeping breakup, so prices for PVC in this quarter, VCM, EDC, compared to last year, that's from my hand.
Sure. So, if you look at Q4 FY23, the PVC prices were average $920. EDC was $288. And VCM was $766. For the full year, PVC was $1058, EDC was $410, VCM was $844. These are all average IHS numbers. So the delta, PVC-EDC delta for the quarter average was $632 and the PVC-VCM delta was $473. For a full year basis, the PVC-EDC delta was $648 and PVC-VCM was $294. Right now, as we speak, latest, PVC prices are around $800-$810. EDC is hovering around $330-$340. VCM is around $690 or $700. The PVC-EDC spread is around $470-$480. And the PVC VCM delta is around $120-$130.
Thank you for the answer. And sir, any thought process on the PVC pricing for the rest of the year or for 6 months to say so?
See, they are holding stable as of now, but we'll only get to know how they move once the year is over or 6 months are over.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwanit Savla from DN Trading. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I have a question, sir. First is a little hygiene kind of a thing. So I wanted to know what would have been our comparable PAT number without the exceptional item in the last year. And on the basis of that, how much growth or degrowth have we posted? And second question is a little long term, that where do we see our profitability or our top line heading after the completion of this capex, and where do we see the PVC prices settling in the long term, because it's been quite volatile in the last couple of years. Thank you.
Sure. So see, our PBT before exceptional item last year was 1,000 crores, which for this year without exceptional items is almost 300 crores, 297 crores to be precise.
Okay, thank you.
And this, when you see on a segment basis or a full year basis, in the resin segment, it was 722 crores, whereas it is 92 crores, almost 92 crores this year. On the pipes and fittings, it was 250 crores last year, and it is 154 crores this year.
Okay, so a significant degrowth has been seen in the resin business, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, thank you. And on my second question?
Can you repeat that, please?
Can you repeat the second question, please?
Yeah. So, this was on a long-term basis. I know that you don't give much guidance on it, but see, after our entire capacity addition is completed, what kind of revenues are we looking at the consolidated level, both resins and pipes? And where do we see the PVC prices settling, since it's been quite volatile in the last couple of years? So is the current pricing is where it will settle, or do we see any trend coming out in the coming quarters?
So you're right. If you look at last 10 years horizon for PVC prices, you will see that we have been fairly steady. The pre-COVID level prices were fairly steady for the past prior 5 years. Now the PVC prices have almost come to those levels, and since December they have been fairly steady. The expectation is that unless there is any major shock, these levels are likely to continue. And it's difficult to predict, but at this point of time that is the assumption we are going with. In terms of growth, it's difficult to give a number to this, but in terms of industry, we are expecting that the agri segment is likely to grow 8 to 10%, and your non-agri segment is likely to go anywhere between 15 and 20%.
Okay, can you please repeat that? Agri segment you are to grow at
8 to 10%. Your non-agri segment is likely to grow anywhere between 15 and 20%.
So on an average, we are likely to see a double-digit growth going forward.
Expectation is that, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the question. And sir, I just wanted to understand if you can throw some light on this recent imposition of quota restriction on 4 countries on PVC resin import. So how will that impact the industry? And let's say if the quota is overshooting, then what kind of penal actions can we see?
Hi, Pranav, good morning. So these quota restrictions there's a guideline which has come on this quota restriction. This is applicable for import of PVC which have higher than 2 ppm of content. See, while it has come, even industry, we are also not very clear how this is going to be implemented. Because, you know, and we don't know what is the tracking mechanism of the government going to be on how to track when the quota is getting completed. For example, if I am a buyer and I buy something, I don't know where I am lying in the whole quota bucket. And similarly, we also do not know what will be the implications if this quota is breached, whether it will be on the buyer or the seller or the industry. We don't know as of now. So hopefully these clarities will come during the course of, you know, time. We also do not know since when is this applicable. There is no start date as such. The whole reason for this was, you know, that very cheap PVC was being dumped into the country, which was not as per the grade that, you know, is right for the for consumers. So the step is in the right direction. Hopefully some clarity will receive from authorities. But as of now, I don't have the answer to your question.
Okay, sir. But sir, should this lead to stability coming in the PVC prices, since imports were actually creating a lot of problems for the domestic manufacturers, and India being kind of a growth engine, a lot of other countries were also exporting to India. So will there be a stability in PVC prices because of this?
Hopefully, it's such a positive move, as I said, because a lot of cheap PVC was being dumped into the country. So let's see how it pans out.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you so much for the opportunity. Sorry, I joined in a late, so I don't know if you have discussed this issue earlier. But in terms of capacity now, what is the peak capacity that you have currently in the system, sir?
So we have the pipe capacity is about 370,000 and fitting capacity about 48,000 metric tons.
Of 48,000 tons. Okay. So, sir, is it fair to assume that in a good quarter, can you go to a peak volume of almost about more than a lakh ton now, given the augmentation of capacity that you have done?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Okay. And, sir, in terms of going forward now, how should one look at the overall capital allocation given the large amount of cash that is there on the books? How you all are thinking about it, because what we overall see that pipe demand continues to be very strong across the country, led by now recovery in agri, infra and other things, and plus housing is also doing well. So how should one look at the capital allocation, if you can just help us with that, sir?
Sure. So if you see, we added this capacity in Pune on the fitting plant last quarter, in March. So similarly, whenever we feel that we are probably kind of in the ballpark of reaching the existing capacity, we will add capacities. So, but nothing concrete as of now today.
Is there any thoughts on a greenfield? Because your presence in some of the regions is still, you're kind of under indexed in those regions, and a greenfield capacity can, you know, really accelerate your, you know, rate of growth. So any thoughts on that, given the amount of cash on balance sheet is quite high?
Abhishek, at this point of time, we have sufficient capacity both in pipes and fittings. Essentially, there's a two philosophies, having local plants versus transportation cost. At this point of time, with the necessary capacity that we have, it's a toss-up between paying for the transportation cost versus setting up new plants across the country. So we have chosen the first one.
Okay. And you think this pipe volume of about 314,000 tons that you've done for the... you've done about 303,000 tons in FY23. You can grow that by 10 to 15% for next 2 to 3 years, given your current capacity and whatever little opportunity of brownfield that you have. Is that a fair assumption to make, Ajit?
Yes, we should be able to meet the demand.
Okay. And just a couple of other questions in terms of competitive intensity in the segment. How are you seeing, because PVC prices, you know, went up so sharply, there were supply issues and they dropped fairly sharply, a lot of people had inventory losses. So given this backdrop, are you seeing some change in the competitive landscape, particularly from the semi-organized and unorganized segments? Any color there will be helpful, sir?
So given the price volatility, it is difficult for smaller players to survive. So the consolidation among the organized players is likely to increase at this point of time. But at this point of time, we have approximately 55 to 60% of the industry organized as it is. So that is likely to intensify further.
Okay. And just one last question, and this is particularly to Ajit, that, you know, you've been in the system for some time now. If you can just talk about some of the broader changes that you have brought in, and in any, you know, anything in terms of results that you're able to see, any thoughts or color on that will be helpful, Ajit. Thanks.
So currently it is work in progress. What the organization is doing is to continue focusing on what we do well, which is in pipes and fittings, and stay focused in that segment. There is enough headroom to grow. The other areas which we are working on is digitization of our supply chain and improving efficiencies of our manufacturing. So those are the two areas which we are currently focusing on to make the operations more efficient.
Okay. So just one last thing in terms of capital allocation, just coming back to that cash on books. So one should expect a higher dividend payout now, given that your capital commitment at least over the next 12 to 18 months doesn't seem to entail a large one. So should one assume a higher payout from that perspective? Any thoughts on that?
See, the board has recommended a dividend of 1.5 rupees for 75%. So that is for this quarter. next quarter, next year we will, obviously the board will guide us what is to be done.
Okay, thank you so much for answering my questions and wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Udit Gajiwala from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking up my question, sir. So just one a small follow-up from the previous participant. So, sir, after the 12,000 that we are doing into fittings, your total capacity will be close to 4,30,000 for pipes. Is that right? Pipes and fittings put together.
Right. 420.
Okay. And
approximately 420, yeah.
420. And, sir, on an annualized basis in this business, what could be the peak utilization that could go? Is it 75% could be the peak by which, you know, you would go for...
In some of the peak months, we do hit about 80-85%.
Okay. Okay. And sir, on the reasons front, you mentioned that the Q4 EBIT per kg is maintainable. Is my understanding correct about it? Or we are still you know, looking at that 14 to 15 rupees a kg band?
So, long term, 14-15 should be the number which we should all strive for. And that should be an acceptable number.
Got it, sir. Got it. And so this 150 to 200 crore capex for 24 will be largely for how much will be for this 15,000 and the rest will be for what?
Sorry?
That capex that you have guided for 34 of 150
large,
to...
Large part of that capex is replacement and maintenance capex.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Goenka from Avriga Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
So I wanted to ask, what is the marketing, branding, product launches, initiatives which we are taking in non-agri segment to increase our market share? It could be in terms of widening the geographical reach or new SKUs. Can you talk about it?
Yes, sir. We have our product range is fairly full. And we have the complete range. The most of the marketing spend and has been going towards the non-agri segment and the construction pipes and plumbing and sanitation segment, and also increasing the reach, and in terms of Finolex branding, in terms of visibility to our target segment. Most of the marketing spends have gone towards that.
Okay, and we're widening the geographic reach as well then?
One is definitely consolidating where we are strong and also increasing our reach in the new segments in North and East.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity, sir. Wanted to check about the margins. If we look at for the industry and also for us, compared to say FY17-18, the margins have meaningfully improved. If you could guide us as to what has driven this, is this product mix alone? Is it market consolidation? Any bit more clarity on that would be great, sir.
So this enhancement has come from two, three things. See, 2-3 years ago, our reach in the CPVC segment and overall non-agri, as we call it, was much lower. So in the last 3-4 years, we have made substantial inroads in the CPVC and also other non-agri, as we call it, that sub-segment. Plus, our fittings have grown faster as compared to pipes. So these two factors taken together have resulted in improved profitability, and we foresee that this upward trend should continue.
And the 15 rupees per kg margin, you talked about the resin, I presume. Is that right, sir?
Yes, that was resin.
And how about the pipes and fittings?
Pipe.
Would you, yeah.
On the pipe segment, we used to be around 7-8 rupees earlier. Now we are in that 10-11 rupees bracket, and we hope that gradually this should go up to 12 rupees, 12 to 14 rupees.
Understood. Just a clarification, sir. In terms of the semi-organized, unorganized players mix, you know, you think given the stable prices now, you think these players, these semi-organized, unorganized players would come back, would that drive the competitive intensity and hence there could be a pressure on the margins or pricing in general?
See, the type of customers we deal with, they come asking for Phenolex pipes and therefore they are very brand conscious and they are also willing to pay the price for getting a branded product. So for these type of customers, I don't think the unorganized segment would be of interest.
Got it. Thank you for the answer, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Mehta from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
So on the working capital side, you know, we've seen some increase in, you know, your receivable days from around 10-15 days, which used to be there earlier, to around 25 days, you know, this year. And your debt levels have also increased. So, I mean, just a question on that, you know, is the improvement in, you know, debt and working capital levels more to do with, you know, the growth in non-agri segment that is there? And, you know, how do you, you know, expect this to pan out going forward?
Sure. So, see, on the receivable side, you are right. Few years ago, we were predominantly cash and carry. But over the years, as our non-agri portfolio grows, that is the demand of the market, and we move with the market that way. So credit is given to our customers. This ranges between 30 to 60 days, depending on customers. So that's why you see slight increase in the receivability. But this is not very away from the market. This is how, and this is expected to be in this range even going forward. On the debt, we do not have any long-term debt. The debt that you see on the balance sheet on 31st March, that is basically buyer's credit, which was not due for payment. So it is normal cycle. I mean, we could have, if you look at the net debt number, that is what you should look at, because what this is done is my cash balance is more with a slightly more buyer's credit. If you would have repaid it, then overall net debt would have been, or net cash would have been the same.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. I think most of my other questions have been answered.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dhananjay Pakrodia from ASK Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to ask you how, in terms of us volumes, would you be able to like break up how much would be going to for Jal Senal?
No, as we don't deal directly with the government tenders, and therefore. And it is directly dealt by the dealers and the retailers themselves. So we do not have a split based on what we supply for any of the government programs.
Okay, so because one of the players had mentioned that they had large volumes, but fast we're not seeing anything of that shape yet right now, right?
Yeah, we don't keep track of the government tenders, yeah.
Okay, fine. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Okay. So I just wanted this production volume data for pipes and fittings and PVC resins for quarter 4 FY23.
See, we give the sales data. So if you look at the sales on the resin segment, just give me a minute.
I mean, I guess last time around you did share the production data, right?
No, generally we don't. Okay, if you look at... Okay, hold on. Production on resin Q4 was 65,000 tons and on pipes and fittings, roughly 87,000 tons.
Okay. And could you tell me, so if we did pay tax around 22% for FY23, would we be maintaining a tax rate at 22% going further?
In FY23, our effective tax rate was lower because we had a capital gain on sale of land.
Oh, okay, right.
enterprise, we are in that 25%.
25% only. Right, right. Yeah, thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you so much for the follow-up. So just a couple of questions. In terms of newer products, is there certain new application-based products that you are working on? If you can just give some color on that.
Abhishek, no. At this current point of time, we have a full product range for the plumbing and sanitation as well as agri segment. So we are not introduce anything at this point of time. When we launch new products, we'll let you know.
Do you think in next 12 to 24 months, one should expect some amount of newer products to come through? I'm seeing something in WIP.
We will let you know as we launch the new products.
Sure. And just one other bookkeeping question. If you see the other expenses as a percentage of revenue has been steadily increasing in the last 3 to 4 quarters. So last year it was about 12.5-13%. This year it's moved to almost like 19-20%. Anything that one should kind of take note of here?
So two things here, Abhishek. One, this is a result of falling PVC prices. So if you see, even in our total overall revenue, where our volumes have grown in the last 2 years, revenue that way even this year is lower than last year, which is a reflection of reducing PVC prices. So then when you look at it as a percentage to revenue, you might see an increase. Secondly, on a standalone basis, power expense has increased. So you see some other costs going up because of power and fuel. Apart from these, there should not be anything which distorts the picture.
Okay, because I was more comparing your other expenses to pre-crisis level, where the PVC price was kind of comparable, and at that point in time, you had about a 14-15% of other expenses as a percentage of top line, which moved up to almost 20% now, 19-20%. So,
as I said, one is power. Power rates, coal expenses have gone up. This year, if you see, you'll also see an forex loss because of the weakening of rupee.
Okay. What's the quantum of that number, forex loss?
Around 30 crore rupees.
And most of that would be in second half?
Some first half also and some second half, both.
Okay. Just the other question in terms of how is the current channel inventory that you are seeing in the system, given that PVC prices have dropped in the current quarter, and how is the overall demand panning out?
So with the dropping PVC prices, the inventory levels at the retail level is quite low. But there is a significant amount of demand. Q3 was outstanding in terms of demand, and Q4 has also been very fairly robust. In spite of Q3 being a record quarter, we are continuing to see demand going forward as well. Q4 and Q1 are typically the stronger quarters.
Great. Thank you so much for answering my question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitul Shah from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question again on this April-May situation compared to Q4 in terms of agri demand particularly and sir pricing compared to Q4 level.
So on PVC pricing, if you see in January, February, the prices was more or less stable. Prices went up by 4 rupees end of December and then by 2 rupees in beginning of January, and entire January and February and mid of March they were stable. From 14th March or mid of March onwards, PVC prices have dropped by almost 11 rupees. So, but after that, they have been stable. Current market prices also, they are, you know, going up and down by 1 or 2 rupees every week. But I would call it, in my view, more or less stable.
The demand side, agri pipes.
So the demand has been fairly robust. Yes, there have been some unseasonal rainfall in the months of April and May, but they have not significantly impacted the demand situation.
Sir, based on the numbers, Q4 production level were slightly higher, or production of both the segment pipes as well as resin compared to sales. So those high value products and right now pricing coming down, so would there be some negative impact in Q1 because of this?
No, not because of this. See, our inventory, this replies that our inventory levels are actually at lower levels, which is a good thing for us if prices continue to fall.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. And sorry, I've joined the call late, so pardon me if my questions are repetitive. Firstly, on the earlier question on product innovation, and I just wanted to get your thoughts around these composite pipes which are getting launched, you know, combined with plastic and metal, and something on the DWC pipes. I'm aware that you just said that we'll communicate in terms of, you know, whatever innovation we do as and when it happens. But just your thoughts in terms of India demand for these pipes. That's my first question.
These new segments which are coming up are fairly small, and it is a wait and watch for most of the manufacturers to see whether they actually take traction. At this point of time, the segments are fairly small.
Okay, so basically it's like more innovating from the manufacturer side and then trial and error in terms of whether there is demand or not. Is that the way to look at it?
Correct. It also depends upon the amount of pull coming from the market as well. It is both. The companies are innovating and experimenting in various small sections and see how the traction happens.
I get that. And one question was for on the other expenses. My sense is generally, typically, fourth quarter is a higher number for, you know, employee cost as well as other expenses. This quarter looks lower. I don't know if you have explained this earlier, but just pardon me for that. But any one-offs here for employee cost and other expenses being lower in the quarter?
No one-offs in employee cost during the quarter. And so employee cost is normal. There is no one-off. I mean, it's lower actually. And others, as I said earlier, power and fuel is higher as compared to last year. That is because of the coal prices, the way they have moved in the year.
Okay, because I can see that the employee cost is actually flat YOY fiscal 23 over 22. So any specific reason for that, being low?
No, that is normal, I mean.
Okay. And last question is on the sale of the balance land. Any update if you could provide, please?
So nothing concrete as of now, but hopefully this year we'll be able to close the transactions.
That's another 350 crores, right? Is that correct?
Yes, at least.
At least, okay. Cool. Thank you so much. And Ajit, all the best for your promotion and best wishes.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Kumar from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question, sir. Sir, question is regarding TPVC sales and volume numbers. If you can help us with that in Q4 and for the year.
We don't declare numbers by the PVC groups here.
So, like, the growth that you see in the CPVC is higher than what we see in the plumbing segment overall?
Yeah,
for you?
The plumbing and sanitation segment, the CPVC growth has been far higher than that.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Hemang from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, sir, my question is again on the other expenses. Though in percentage terms it looks higher, but on the absolute terms, if you are seeing like pre-COVID, it's around 450 crore and right now it's around 840 crore for the year. So is power cost suddenly gone up in the current year or
if you looking at it from a pre-COVID level, mm-hmm. yes, it, even per unit terms, power cost has gone up because of the rising coal prices. Apart from that, our manufacturing expenses, they also, in line with our increase in volumes, they've also gone up.
Okay, okay. So there is no one-off in this number. So these numbers will sustainable on the other expenses.
Yes, obviously, if coal prices cool down, we will see some reduction in the power cost.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. You may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Just one question on the debtors. You obviously explained that the agri, non-agri mix is actually going up and hence the overall blended receivable cycle is going up. Should we expect further increase from here or is it, or this should, you know, settle at somewhere about 25 days on a company level basis?
On a company level, it should be less than 30 days.
So in spite of, you know, the mix actually is expected to further go up, right?
Yes, that's why.
But the debtors will stay at this level. That's what you're saying?
No, it is right now at 25, right? So it should go up to 30 odd days level.
Okay, okay, got it. And just last question on the capacity. Could you help me with the year-end capacity for pipes and fittings and resins, please?
So resin production, we have a capacity of 270,000 metric tons per annum. For pipe capacity, we have approximately 370,000 metric tons per annum. And fittings capacity, we have approximately about 48,000.
And how much do we outsource? Because I think we have some exclusive partners. What's the capacity there?
So this 48,000 includes the capacity of the outsource partners.
Okay. Okay. So 48,000 is basically both in-house plus outsource,
and
right?
Outsource, yes.
And in-house is how much of that 48?
12,000, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sohil Kaura for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank the management at Finolex Industries for giving us this opportunity to host the call. Another management, anyone would like to give any closing remarks? We will just end the call here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.